O Lord, open thou our lips. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The other day, I was looking back at a few photographs and came across one that had been taken at our last sacristan's birthday party here at the house. It's hard to believe, but now well over a year ago. That evening brings back some very happy memories for me. And I think it's worth noting that the theme of this particular sacristan's birthday party was Dante's Divine Comedy. And as usual, for these sorts of occasions, costumes were highly encouraged. As one can imagine, a number of the best costumes that evening were of characters who inhabit some of the deepest circles of the underworld, hell. One person, who may or may not have been the birthday boy himself, surprised us all and appeared dressed as the devil. And just as you might imagine, he had bright red ears, a pitchfork, and even a tail. But I am happy to report that it was only a costume and that he is now firmly back on the side of the angels. For the past three Sundays, we have encountered the devil in each one of our gospel passages. In the Divine Comedy, Virgil guides Dante, and by extension, us, to the ninth and lowest circle of the underworld. Instead of finding ourselves surrounded by unquenching flames and unbearable heat, what we encounter is just how cold and frigid a place hell really is. We see frozen inhabitants, feel the unrelenting wind, and see the devil frozen waist high in a sea or a lake of ice. But what are we to make of this description of hell? The words of a former lecturing professor on Dante ring out to me. Hell, purgatory, and paradise, they are never about the future. My life is like a frozen thing we heard in the Christiana Rossetti poem at Compline this week. My life is like a faded leaf, my harvest dwindled to a husk. Truly my life is void and brief and tedious in the barren dusk. My life is like a frozen thing, no bud nor greenness can I see. Yet rise it shall, the sap of spring. O Jesus, rise in me. Here, we have the imagery of freezing in the context of literally the ground of our own present lives, now. What in our lives is frozen or dwindled in this season? Where do we still need to call out, O Jesus, rise in me? That's what we are being asked today. Set before us in the gospel is a man consumed by darkness. In a word, he is possessed. The devil is within his body. The devil is exercising a dominion over his body and through it over this man's soul. When this man encounters Jesus, God the Son, standing before him, he finds himself inwardly frozen by the darkness, so much so that he is incapable of that most basic human action, the vocative, that of crying out, of reaching out, of calling for help. Just as when a mother is delivered from a newborn child, before she can hold or even see her child for the very first time, she hears its voice. That crying out of the newborn as air rushes into its lung for the very first time. This sound, this crying out, is the sound of life made manifest in the world. And just as John the Baptist cries out with solitary voice in the wilderness, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Make straight the way of the Lord. It is this very act of crying out that announces the coming of Christ, the very light of the world. And when in a few short weeks we finally arrive in Jerusalem and gaze upon the foot of the cross, we too will hear the cry of life go out once more. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. This very call and response of God's grace is freely given and poured out into the world through the incarnate and eternal word, from which once spoken, all of creation flows, and to which we seek to be made one with. And it came to pass, and the dumb spake. The kingdom of God drives out the devil. Jesus, conceive the devil within this man. It does not matter that this man cannot speak. Our Lord hears his crying from within and knows his innermost desire to be released from darkness. The devil is literally exorcised out of this man. As we hear the psalmist ring out, the right hand of the Lord hath the preeminence. As Father Mark pleaded in this morning's collect, stretch forth thy right hand. But as we see, the finger of God is all that it takes to expose and overwhelm the devil. God's victory, light overcoming the darkness, won once and for all on the cross, is never to be in question. This man's voice returns, and with it, his ability to not only repent and ask God for forgiveness, but in it, an ability to sing out with praise and thanksgiving unto our Lord. And you don't have to be possessed to be robbed of speech. There are times when in very real ways we each struggle to find our voice and feel capable of calling out to the Lord, asking and indeed feeling worthy to receive his infinite goodness and mercy. Last Sunday, we were reminded of the importance of praying and interceding for others. We too are in need of others' prayer. We can find ourselves so bound by sin that we cannot pray for ourselves. We too can be so conscious of our own sin and the habits of sin deep-seated within us that we can experience no release of our own accord. We need others to hold us, to lift us up, to carry us before the throne of the heavenly grace. Our Lord, he knows our most inner thoughts, our secrets, our intimate prayers, our desire to be loved and to love, to ask for forgiveness and to be forgiven. At times, a certain besetting sin or predominant fault that we are ashamed of can act as a barrier between our reconciliation with God. This sin can be hidden and buried deep down within ourselves. Perhaps it is that sin in the confessional we don't want to say, the thing that keeps us up in the middle of the night, that we try desperately to convince ourselves doesn't actually need to be mentioned, doesn't need to be spoken. However, once we confess this sin, whatever it may be, with the sure knowledge of God's abundant mercy and forgiveness, the great stumbling block, the leader of those opposing forces from within us, is immediately brought out from the darkness, exposed, defeated in the light of Christ. And in his light, we become open to receiving evermore the overflowing abundance of God's grace within us. It is as if our souls are laying awake in a darkened room, and suddenly a chink of light shoots through the curtains. And it is that chink of light, or slight radiant glow we can see through the curtains, which helps us to discern it, to to confess it, and finally, to stand up and to draw the curtains to see the country, God's kingdom, spread before us in the glory of the new dawn. That finger of light through the curtain is like the finger of God in our gospel passage. Therefore it is said, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And when this happens, in the words of Pusey's beautiful prayer, we have escaped from the weary round of harassing thoughts into his eternal presence. In this light, we would not only find the faith and hope to ask for our Lord's loving mercy and forgiveness, but the joy to praise and worship him in all that we do. This is the vision glorious, the kingdom of heaven made manifest on earth. We each face our need for ongoing transformation and anticipate our ultimate destination this Lent as we journey to the foot of the cross. Let us gather together in prayer and come together spiritually to dwell in the light of Christ, to confront the darkness from within us with the sure knowledge that we are not alone and that we are all God's beloved children. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And in this light, let us continue, in the words of the Church in the East, that all hallowed season of abstinence, let us shine with the bright radiance of the holy commandments of Christ our God, with the brightness of love and the splendor of prayer, with the purity of holiness and the strength of good courage. So clothed in raiment of light, let us hasten to the holy resurrection on the third day that shines upon the world with the glory of eternal life. May it be so. Amen.